Good morning. Today is Thursday, May the 6th. Did you avocado yesterday, Mr. Hansel?
I avocado every day.
It was a popular day out in certain restaurants last evening.
People are out and about, which is kind of nice, and the restaurants are enjoying that.
Yeah, so this normalcy thing, we'll talk a little bit about what normal might be, but before that, we've got our question. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Why do we measure lengths in inches, feet, and yards?
It's just the old English way of doing things, right?
Old English,
yes.
Okay. Right. Like many of our other units of measure, these three resulted from man's early tendency to measure things with parts of his body.
Sure.
The inch came from the approximate width of a man's thumb, which was used to measure small distances. The foot, of course, is based on the length of a man's foot, which he used to step off longer distances. The yard is the distance between the tip of a man's nose and the fingers of his outstretched arm, a distance that became a standard measuring length of cloth. Of course, since humans' dimensions vary as they do, more precise definitions were eventually established. Other units of measure based on human dimensions are the cubit, the distance from the elbow to the tip of the longest finger, the digit, the width of a finger, the fathom, the distance between the fingertips of outstretched arms, which is still used today to measure water depths, and the hand, the width of a four-finger hand, which is used to measure the height of horses.
There you go.
See?
Good stuff, man.
Nothing in there about pistols, though, which is good.
Okay,
we can all rest at ease.
This yard is longer.
Yeah. Caliber, though, might be something to get into later on.
Okay. Caliber, sure.
Yes. Caliber of character.
Sure.
Yeah.
Caliber, grain, all that stuff. Okay.
Oh, hey, how's the construction plans coming along for the backside of the jail there?
So things are progressing. You know, for the first time in a very long time, we actually have a timeline now. And so we're talking about the 863 project, a project that the state, when AB 109 and this realignment occurred in 2011, they kept promising money for jail expansions because local jails were getting inundated with state prison people that should be in state prison. So part of that was a $20 million grant that was provided to Humboldt County in 2016, and it's taken us this long to establish that this year we're finally going to get a contractor set up. And so,
does that mean dirt dug? Or does that mean rolls of plans walking around your office?
That means that a contractor will finally be hired to start the building process, the bidding and building process. And so our timeline, I believe, is October 2023. We should have it built.
Done.
So
painted ugly pink.
Well, we're gonna try and, you know, switch it up.
Have you had another color?
We're gonna switch it up probably and have a whole different theme. But I think this will tie the other two buildings together. From the courthouse
to the jail. That's a big rubber band there, baby.
We're hoping. We'll see what happens. But the preliminary drawings look very, very good. It looks like a very nice building, and it does tie in with the existing jail. So,
do you get out of the basement?
Do I get out of the basement? No, I'm still on the ground
floor. The sheriff stays in the basement.
Part of the old, you know, 60, 70-year-old courthouse.
All right, maybe you get a can of paint out of the deal, huh?
I'm trying. Trying to liven things up there for sure. Yeah.
With these concerns about these various parking lots throughout town, now you've been able to access that footprint for staff parking for a period of time. Does this structure allow for any additional parking or for those folks to be able to stay there? Or are these going to be some additional vehicles that are going to be out on the sidewalks trying to vie for fewer parking locations?
Right. So there was a parking study done by the city of Eureka and the county when this facility was proposed. And they said in the 3-block area, there was plenty of parking for people to, that were going to the courthouse. And so that parking wasn't necessary.
So three blocks would be from First Street to 8th Street?
Yes. That whole area. Yes. Yes, for sure. So you're talking that 3 blocks from basically the bay all the way to 8th Street, you know, then from G, you know, all the way to M Street. That whole kind of 3-block radius where people can park and then walk in. They may have counted the Adorney Center as a possible, you know.
Jeez.
So it's, you know, And then when we talk about the issues that come with this, yes, there's going to be issues. When we block, essentially we're going to be blocking K Street between 4th and 5th.
During the construction. Is that permanent?
That's not permanent. Just during the construction, all those parking spaces are going to be eliminated on that dirt lot. It's going to be problematic for county employees as well as people visiting the courthouse to do it. They're going to have to park and walk in. So that's going to be the norm.
How many cars do you have there roughly now? Have you ever bothered to?
50, 60 cars in that lot is.
So that's a pretty good chunk.
Yeah, it's a pretty good chunk. So. Yeah. So, the once it's done, there will be some parking. It'll be mostly, sheriff's parking and a bit of public parking there in that lot.
You'd hate to say visitor parking, huh?
Right. Yeah. But what's happening is we're seeing some of these lots develop where people are paying to park. And so there are some of those private lots around the courthouse that are being filled up and people are paying to get their parking spot, for that time.
Not the same style as what we see in metropolitan areas where it's the 2 hour, 3 hour, 4 hour.
Right.
These are the month long.
The month. They're buying that spot for the month. Yes.
So are you going to be doing some of the, well, you get downstairs if you want. Down in the basement.
No, we don't actually.
Just the judges and the soups?
Judges and the CAO's office, courts, get some designated parking. The sheriff's office has patrol vehicles that are parked in there. So we do take up about half the parking, but it's for the patrol vehicles.
So they don't get attacked at night.
Well, it's just security and that kind of stuff. Well, we just need to make sure the equipment is taken care of and secured. So, yeah.
You could have said yes.
Well,
that would have been okay. I mean, you didn't have to go through the old Marianne.
Yes. Yes.
Remember who you're dealing with here and how easy it is to lose me in the conversation.
Stop calling me out, will you?
Yeah. Oh, well, somebody's better. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:19. We'll be back with more from Sheriff Hansel.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music. ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbra Streisand, Billy Joel, and the Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are easy radio. Easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music, and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music. Easy Radio, 980 AM.
Good morning, KINS. News and Information Time is 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Humboldt County Sheriff Billy Hansel. Anything important on that portable computer you have?
Nothing yet.
Oh, good.
No.
Okay.
Yeah.
The governor certainly has an interesting way of interpreting life.
Yes.
Reality and
yes.
goals and things of that nature.
For sure.
Had the story earlier this week that he's looking to turn out about another 50% of the folks that are in the state prison system and
right.
shunt them back down to the right. locals.
Right.
The last time didn't work out very well. What's he thinking or do you have any idea what he's thinking?
I have no idea what he's thinking other than they're looking at really helping out the state budget. Because the state prison system has a huge budget and a huge liability. By cutting half the population, they're saving billions of dollars.
Do they cut the staff, or is this just the day-to-day operational?
Day-to-day operation, it costs $100-some-odd per inmate per day to house them in the state prison system. And so every reduced inmate sends,
another bin.
And balances the budget a little bit better, and so they can spend it on different programs. The deal is that there was an overcrowding problem in the state prison, 10 years ago. That's when AB 109 came around, and then Governor Brown negotiated and tried to, push off some of that responsibility to house some of the lower-lying offenses to the counties.
Rather than building structures to house.
Rather than expanding the existing state prison system. And the deal is that violent offenses and prison-type offenses are still occurring within the state. And so we are still bringing people to state prison. But through this COVID emergency, the governor and the state has escalated some timelines when people get out of state prison. And so he is cutting sentences in half. And he made an announcement the other day that up to 70,000 more inmates are eligible for reduced sentences in the state prison system. There are currently only 90,000 people in state prison right now. That's about half what there were 10 years ago. Have we seen crime go down in the last 10 years? We haven't. We've only seen crime go up. So why is that number the way it is? And so accountability still needs to be there within our state. And so by allowing people not to be held accountable, by judges sentencing to people and then them getting reduced sentences and then ultimately getting their sentences cut in half while they're in state prison, you know, what kind of message does that send? And let me tell you, because of the COVID emergency, our communities are being flooded with people that are being released from state prison. And I don't think that our state parole agents or our county probation officers have the staff to keep up. Their workload is going through the roof.
What about the impact to the community?
Right.
You know, if you have 70,000 and we just got 1/58th of that, that's 1,000 of these nasty guys
right.
and gals turn free.
Right. Yes. Turn free. Yes.
You don't have space, so.
That's right. And so, again.
Somebody's going to be turn free.
So then, again, our county jail was really designed to help out with those minor offenses, those public nuisance offenses, someone who's a serial thief, a drunk, addicted to drugs, and those kinds of things, so we can help those people within our county jail. Well, now our county jail has become a system where we're only accepting serious and violent people. So the people that really need to be in jail to get that moment of sobriety are not in jail. We are getting those people that you know are destined for state prison or we need to hold for parole. Those are the people that are in custody right now.
Now, the new building isn't going to necessarily alleviate that situation for you, is it?
It won't. It'll add 44 beds, including some mental health beds. It will help. So it'll expand our population. We'll be able to take more people. And also, for the people that are in custody, you know, giving them programs while they're still in custody to not reoffend when they get out, that's the design of that reentry facility. And
but it's not you're going to house these nasties that you're talking about. That
the
are
serious and violent.
Push back through the
right.
system.
Right. The serious and violent is likely not going to. So, yeah.
So what are the thoughts? What are the options? What are you looking at?
So the California state sheriffs are just beside themselves because, number one, we hear the announcement of this the same day the public does. And so there's no negotiation. There's no heads up. There's no, hey, let's talk about this thing. It's just, by the way, heads up, we're going to be releasing more people into your community. And then so it just puts more responsibility on local law enforcement, puts more stress on local communities, as well as the impact of having, you know, these people who should be in custody, you know, out on the street. And there are people that have been reformed. Great. Perfect. Those people are not a problem. But there's people that still need mental health treatment, drug treatment, or are just have violent tendencies that should be held accountable, and those people are not being held accountable.
Now, with the virus, I guess we're going to be free and clear, at least that's what he said, by mid-June. Is that going to allow these folks to be reabsorbed back into the state prison? Are you going to be able then to increase the population in the Hilton to be able to bring everything kind of back to some semblance of normalcy?
So a couple different things. On that, the state prison is now accepting people back. So that for a lot of time, 6 months, they're saying we weren't accepting anyone in the state prison system. So now they finally have some plan to get people that we have locally that's destined for state prison to prison. And so
does that include the ones that came from state prison?
New violations that need to go back to state prison. So we were holding state prison state prisoners, you know, here locally because the state prisons weren't opening. So now they're open, so we have transportation plans set up to send people back to state prison that have been sentenced.
We'll talk about the second half of that
sure.
when we come back. It's 8:30.
Hey, community. Times are rough right now. Retail shops may be closing, but the bulk flower market is still open and moving fast. We here at Bayer can help turn your flower harvest into cash today. Call Bayer Extraction House at 707-693-2222. That's 707-693-2222. Don't miss out. It is time to sell. Bayer Extraction House. Your flower
Good
selling
Good morning, KINS. News and information time. It's 8:34. Making it through a Thursday with Mr. Hansel. I know you're not looking at...
No, it's just
too many
much,
toys.
It's
that,
just
that's
too
what
many
it boils
toys.
Down to.
It's too many text messages and that kind of thing.
Well, that's because you're a celebrity, right?
Well, just a lot
Either
of stuff
Either that or
going
you
on.
Really stepped in something earlier in the show and you've got your fan club informing you of that.
Yes. No, not at all.
No?
Not at all.
You haven't heard from them yet.
Huh? Not yet.
So
after
I'm giving you plural.
Yeah,
on
that. Yeah. I got some good people out there, you know. Dave, he's listening right now. He always gives me some good feedback after the show. So thanks, Dave.
Was it CYH? Cover your Hansel.
Yes, there you go. He's one of my guys. Yeah. Absolutely. So.
Jeez.
Yeah.
Oh. So this COVID relaxation, as it is now, are you going to be able to start putting more population into your facilities so we get some of the folks that haven't been in there now inside?
Yes. So that is, we are trying to expand, you know, how many people we actually have in custody right now. And the problem comes with our quarantine setup. And we're working through what happens when we have someone who is vaccinated and they're arrested. And do we have to put them through their 10-day quarantine like we do with everyone else? And so because we isolate people for those 10 days to make sure that they don't have COVID. Because the last thing we want to do is bring COVID into the correctional environment. And
so we kind of defeat the concept of having the shots if you didn't recognize that they had the shots.
True. And so
isn't it a black and white thing?
Well, we've offered the vaccine to a lot of the inmates. And, you know, I think we have about, the number was about 50% of the inmates, you know, decided to take it. So we still have inmates that don't want to be vaccinated. And then there's also, you know, for the people that do become, that are vaccinated, they have proof of vaccination. We're thinking about reducing that to a 3-day quarantine, test them, make sure they're not, you know, have COVID, and then put them back in a general population. So that would be the goal. And so we can open up more beds, you know, for inmates. Right now, our quarantine unit is full. I mean, there's booking people, you know, within our system. And these are people that we need to hold, you know, for court. They are people that have committed serious and violent offenses.
So you're not able to tell them what needs to be done? You have to get their permission?
To vaccinate them?
It kind of, yeah.
Yes.
I mean, I thought that certain rights were suspended when you're in jail.
No,
not all of them, obviously.
Not all of them, no. So no, there's definitely some, obviously, inmate rights. We want to make sure that it's available, but you know, it's their right to receive the vaccine, but it's not our right to make sure that everyone gets the vaccine or takes the vaccine. So, yep, it's still an option.
When the colors get lighter or better or whatever.
Yeah. Or go away in June.
Yeah, or go away in the middle of June. Yeah. Are you staffed up?
We are staffed up. So staffing is not an issue with our correctional facility. Right now, I think we have...
What happened?
Right now, we had an aggressive, you know, hiring campaign, and it is a good place to work. And we're still hiring. We've got about 5 more positions to hire. So if you're interested in becoming a correctional deputy and being a, you know, into, you know.
So you're close.
We're close. So okay. It's something. And that's something that we definitely want to get at, because to do the jail expansion in the next 2 years, we have to hire another 20 correctional deputies. So we want to definitely show that we can hire people, and we have a great hiring team and recruiting team that are out there and trying to get people to come to work for us.
So as you're looking at everything, where you think it is at this point,
yeah.
Is the state indicating, are they really going to turn us, take everything off in the middle of June?
I think so. I think what they're seeing here now is that COVID is still going to be with us. We don't know how long COVID is still going to be with us, you know, in the next year or two.
Let's say 10 years.
So we have to learn to live with it. I feel like they're finally getting that with the vaccinations that are occurring. Even though locally hospitalizations have gone up, we've managed it. We've managed it. Our hospital's been able to manage that. And so people, I think, are figuring out that we can, again, navigate this crisis in the future. And we got to learn to live with COVID and not shut everything down. And so it's going to be up to the individual businesses to do what they believe is you know, through the guidelines, and to make sure that their employees are safe. You know, that's through Cal/OSHA. Those requirements are not going to go away. But as far as the requirements, you know, locally and the guidance locally, that's going to, you know, eventually just go away, and that these people are going to make sure that they're going to protect themselves, protect the public, protect their customers.
So basically do what you feel comfortable with in your business.
Exactly.
And let the consumers determine if they feel comfortable with those decisions.
That's exactly right.
So does that mean you're going to have – now, we were talking during the break about having the big party –
right.
when the jail was constructed.
Right.
You're going to have a big party when you get rid of this information center? You're going to blow that thing up in the middle of June also?
So that is going to...
So we get rid of all the daily press releases and the drip, drip, drip?
So what's going to happen here is there's going to be a demobilization of our Emergency Operations Center and our Joint Information
English,
Center.
English, please.
So it's going to... So we've had... This has been a long emergency. So we've had an Emergency Operations Center set up, you know, for over a year now to deal with this. And one of the components of that is a Joint Information Center. So what's going to happen here in the next month, I think by July 1st, we are going to demobilize that. Okay, so our Office
June
of Emergency
1st
Service.
Or July 1st?
July 1st. So
that's 2 months.
Well, two
for
months.
For most of us, looking at the calendar, yes. we see two.
Okay, 2 months. So by the end of June, 1st of July, you know, our goal, as long as everything stays on this trajectory, is to turn the emergency back over to public health. And the Sheriff's Office of Emergency Services will no longer be the coordinator for this emergency. Public Health will run their operations center and coordinate this as a public
just
health emergency.
Just as normal, regular. Still as an emergency?
Still
though?
As a public health emergency, still as a public health. So they're going to still have a public
even though
education
the state
component.
Says there's no emergency.
Well, there's still an emergency, but they're not going to deal with it, you know, doing the, you know, the tiered system. And that tiered system is going to go away. They're not denying that there's still an emergency in place. So... the state of emergency, I think, will still be in place, you know, from the governor's perspective.
So what is the definition of an emergency then?
Right. Exactly. So, you know, where there's things that are out of control and then we need to put restrictions in place to and oftentimes suspend some constitutional privileges.
Empowers certain governmental officials to have enhanced powers.
Yes, it does.
Decision-making authority.
Absolutely. And so when that goes away, that ability to make those decisions also goes away. So I think they're going to be careful with how they're going to, you know, basically shut down this emergency or
you,
declare
you know
it
the
over.
Old bromide, you know, nobody wants to give up power.
Mm-hmm.
I think that may start to enter into this equation somewhere at some point.
Well, we see that, but, you know, I think people are ready. People are ready to try to, you know, learn to live with COVID like we're doing, and I think it's a good idea.
Yeah.
And manage it, absolutely. Be reasonable the whole time. Let's figure out how to protect ourselves, protect others, and learn to live with it. And so...
We'll see.
We will see, but it's going to be a good thing.
I'll have cake here if that's the case. When we be in July? July 1st.
Thursday. That's our first day.
There will be cake here.
July 1st.
If you've gotten rid of that thing.
That's our talk shop day, so absolutely.
Right.
I'm looking forward to cake. The strawberry delight from Old Town Chocolates. That's
you
my
like
cake.
Strawberry?
It's that best chocolate cake around. And vanilla cake,
oh, it's
whatever.
Chocolate, also?
Chocolate or vanilla, it's the best.
I guess I'm going to have
strawberry
to practice.
Delight.
If it's not blueberry, I have to practice into it then.
Yeah, yeah.
Right near? I'm not sure that's a Plan Z thing, though.
No.
KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:43.
The Redwood Region Economic Development Commission wants you to know that local economic development agencies, business resource organizations, financial institutions, and jurisdictions are working together to provide resources for the COVID-19 pandemic. For more information, go to northcoastsbdc.org or call the OES Business Hotline at 268-2527. 268-2527.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:47. We're back talking shop this morning with Humboldt County Sheriff Billy Hansel. What else did I write down? Oh, fentanyl.
Yes.
More of it? Or more arrests?
No, this is more of it. This is, we're seeing what the big cities were seeing the last year and a half, we're now seeing in Humboldt County, is that fentanyl is here. It is, has really been integrated in every drug aspect, whether it's meth, heroin, prescription drugs.
Is this just an ingredient? is this a standalone?
It is. It's both. It's a powder that can be mixed with other drugs, or it can be a pill form. With the pill presses that they have nowadays, they can disguise the fentanyl pill to look like anything. And so that's what makes it so dangerous. As we've actually had our overdose rates and fentanyl has gone up tremendously in the last year. And we're seeing young people in their 20s die from fentanyl overdose because they've been given something and they don't really know what it is, or maybe they think, you know, because they use some poly drugs that they can handle fentanyl. And the deal is that this stuff is so powerful that it can kill you.
What
one
is
dose
it initially designed for? It's is a it a painkiller?
It's a painkiller for people with, you know, cancer treatment. And so it's a heavy, heavy dose painkiller. And so it is. We see that this is manufactured in China and in Mexico, and it's being brought up now. So meth, heroin, and fentanyl is just flooding our area. So our local drug task force has taken this on, and they have been out there pursuing the people that are peddling this poison here. And what people really need to understand is that if they're dealing this drug and if someone dies as a result of this drug, is they can be criminally liable for their death. And so whether it's the federal government,
is that true with all drugs?
It is to a certain aspect, but when we look at fentanyl, it's like the word is out, okay, that, you know, It's highly, highly volatile, and people overdose all the time for it. And so we need to make – so they're aware of that. So if they're peddling this drug, they know they're peddling the poison that could kill someone. And so I think it's easy to prove that case in court.
But isn't meth the same?
Not necessarily. Not necessarily. I mean, it doesn't necessarily kill people at the rate of fentanyl does. And so
it's a quick death rather than a slow death.
Right. Okay. Right. And so – So we're looking at that and going after the dealers and going after the suppliers and the runners. And so, but I just would like everyone to be cautious about this and have the conversation with their kids, with young adults, and just say, man, stay clear of this. If you don't know, like prescription pills sometimes get passed from one person to another. If you don't know that the pill is from a pharmacy, subscribed by a doctor, please do not take it. But we have kids now that are taking whatever someone gives them as a drug, and so it's absolutely terrible, and people are dying over it.
Is that mind-numbing to you?
It is,
I mean,
absolutely.
I don't get it. I think everybody understands. I don't get it, but I mean, just take somebody else's prescription, and you don't know what it is or what it does. But hey, that's okay, and you throw it back with a shot or a beer and.
I feel like it just happens over time that people get, you know, numb to it, take just something small, and then next thing you know, take something a little bit larger, and they don't know the effect of it. So anyway, it's something that I think needs to be addressed. It's something that our drug task force and the police departments, Eureka PD POP team, as well as the sheriff's deputies that are out there are looking for it, and we have to be cautious as well, because, I mean, fentanyl can be micro small and, you know, gets in your skin, gets in your mouth, that kind of stuff. And it could have an effect for someone who doesn't normally take prescription pills or does heroin. It could, overdose someone. So people in the EMS as well as public safety have overdosed. And so we've given Narcan to our own.
It gets absorbed
through the skin. Yep. So, yeah. So we actually have Narcan in with all of our deputies and to give to people that may be overdosed, but also to protect us just in case that we get exposed to fentanyl.
The accidental.
Right.
Does this stuff get airborne, or is it typically into a...
Unless someone smokes it, I don't know. I'm not sure about the airborne.
You can smoke this stuff too?
I believe you can do anything with it. So, yeah. Much like heroin. So it's pretty dangerous.
I guess. So this is the new drug or the new cool trendy one?
Yes. This is
replacing
what's happening.
Whatever it was replaced?
Yep. Heroin.
Huh.
Yep.
And it's coming in. Is it replacing some of the other stuff?
It's supplementing. Yes, it's on top of. We still have a heroin problem. We still have a big meth problem here in the county. We're not seeing really reduced numbers as far as those concerned. We're just seeing more fentanyl here.
Is this related at all to the Oregon legalization of possession?
Don't know yet. I don't know yet. Too early, but I know that this is coming through, you know, Mexico and up through, you know, up through our border.
So it's coming out of the south, northbound.
Just like with the meth and heroin. Yep. It's big business.
Oh, man. Thanks for the upbeat.
Well, I know. Sorry. Yeah. Just want to be, you know, keep people aware, for sure.
It is what it is.
Yep,
Thanks for coming by.
Thanks, Brian.
See everybody tomorrow. Bye.